June 18th, 2005. Item number 51. Today's guest is Brian Ibbett from Coverville.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Brian, a few news and notes to go over. First off, I'd like to send a thank you out to two men and a microphone. They interviewed me recently on their show, and it's on show number 15, and you can find them at www.twomenandamicrophone.com if you want to hear me on the other side of the microphone. Warning, their show is R-rated, so it's not work-friendly at some points in the show. Not so much my interview, but after my interview. And I'll have a link to their interview and website in our show notes. As always, any podcast we mention in today's podcast will be in the show notes. I'm also going to start trying to include in the show notes the equipment setup that is mentioned during the podcast. On a personal side, I want to warn people about a PayPal spoof scam. I know there's been talked about before with an eBay spoof scam. There was a PayPal one where someone sent me this link and it said, you know, email looked like it came in from PayPal, said you need to go in here and put in update your records or it's going to be turned off tomorrow. And I looked at it and luckily my spidey senses kicked in and said, Rob, something's just not kosher. I mean, the page looked legit. So I sent the email back to PayPal and said, hey, is this really a legit thing? And they came back and said, no, it's a spoof. So if you get an email out there from PayPal or eBay asking you to log into your account, chances are it's a spoof email and you log into the spoof page that looks identical to the real thing and you've just given someone your name and your password. So don't do that. A note on the site, on our podcasting jobs page at www.podcastingjobs.com. Just received a post that I put up there yesterday, and it's for a developer with background in RSS. So if this sounds like something that appeals to you and you'd like to get in on the ground floor of a startup, go to podcastingjobs.com and you'll see it's the first one at the top. And I should clarify, this is not a job for Podcast 411. This is a job from an outside company. On our podcasting jobs page, we allow any outside companies to post a job opening. So if you have a job opening that relates in any way to podcasting, please send it to Rob at Podcast 411. Put jobs in the title, and I will put it up there for you for free. You know, please help your fellow podcasters get a job. And if you have a job opening, let us know about it. On our directory of directories, we're now up to 48 different podcasting directories. I added in 4 yesterday. I added in a German language podcast directory. There are 152 different German language podcasts out there. I also added in 1 for Guatemala and 2 Spanish language directories. And I'd like to thank Emerson Cuevado for sending in those links. And Emerson, I hope I got your last name right. If I didn't, let me know. And on our last note, if you go to the main page at podcast411.com, you will now see in the upper left-hand corner right below our Peapod a link that says Listen Now. And that is a new Poo Poo Player from Poo Poo Platters. If you go to www.poopooplayer.com, you can check this out. They have a free version of the player and a pro version. And this is a really sweet, very, very easy to install player on your website. You put in what your RSS feed is on the poopooplayer.com page, and they give you code. You copy and paste that where you want it on your website in HTML, and that's it. You're done. In less than a minute or two, you can have a player up on your site that looks and works really well. Ben, you did a great job. This is not a paid ad. I paid for the Pro Player. I just believe in this. I think this is a great thing to add to your site as it make it easier for your listeners that come to your site to listen to your podcast. Well, that is a lot of news and notes for today, and I apologize. So we're going to go ahead and get right into the interview here with Brian, and at the end, I'll cut it real short. Here we go. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I'll start you out with the first question, and that was, what was your first computer?
My first computer, and this goes way back, was a TRS-80 color computer from Radio Shack.
Ping, ping, ping. You're the first person that had the same first computer as me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that god-awful silver thing with the little plastic chiclet keys.
Oh, and those keys were horrible. They were so brutal. Your fingertips hurt using it.
Oh, that was horrible, yeah.
But it was fast. It was actually a very fast processor in there. For the day and age.
Sure, for what we were using it for. I mean, I was writing basic programs and doing graphics and logo and playing a game called Dungeons of Daggerath or something along those lines.
You started podcasting really early. I mean, I know you started back in late September.
That's right, yep.
But what was the first podcast you listened to? There really wasn't too many to choose from before
you
started.
It was definitely Adam's show. It was the first one I listened to. I heard about audio blogging on one of the Tech TV channels. I think it was Tech TV or whatever it was back then, ZDNet, or thought, oh, this would be a great way to hear some new music and, you know, get some MP3s of other artists and things like that. Started listening to that, and then almost every audio blog started talking about Adam Curry and what he was doing. And so it was probably the beginning of August that I went on to Adam's site and started downloading his shows. And honestly, it wasn't until after a couple shows that I realized it was the guy from MTV, the same Adam Curry.
Today, what podcasts are you listening to?
I listen to about, probably about 20, 25. I listen to Jawbone Radio out of Cleveland.
Which is interesting because the last person I interviewed Friday night was Jawbone Radio.
Oh, really? Len and Nora.
Yeah, yes. I had Len and Nora on Friday night.
Ah, they're great. I listen to Dan Class, Bitter's Pill.
Okay.
That's a favorite of mine. Starting to get into Illinois a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people are recommending Illinois, so I have to check them out.
Yeah, definitely. They're absolutely worth checking out. And then there's a handful of trivia podcasts that I'm really enjoying, like Voices from the Vault, Pod Quiz, Mostly Trivial is Back, which is really cool, Brain Strain, which is a music trivia quest or a music trivia podcast. Other than that, I mean, things like Dave Slesher I listen to, Podcast Brothers. I have about a 45-minute commute into work and listen to podcasts for a couple hours at work while I'm getting stuff done, kind of having on in the background. So I have plenty of time to listen to stuff.
The one or two listeners of mine that don't know it, tell them what your show is about.
Coverville is a usually three times a week show, usually thrice weekly, show that features cover songs, rare and unusual, sometimes comical cover songs.
Now, how many William Shatner songs have you played to date?
I think only three. I've played Mr. Tambourine Man, and then I've played one from his new album a couple times, and one of those was by several requests. It was a cover that he did of Pulp's Common People, which is really fun. It's a lot of fun.
Now, I noticed on a recent show, you actually played a cover song done by a previous guest on my show, which was Eric Bergen.
Oh, yeah, from Green Room.
Yep. Yeah. So I heard that. I was like, oh, wait. Eric, he was on here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent. I mean, that's I believe that's him on the piano as well as singing. The guy's just got amazing talent.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, he's right now he's a college student in North Carolina. He's making himself well positioned in the entertainment industry. He's going out interviewing a lot of performers and entertainers.
That's great. Yeah, and he's barely old enough to drink, if even that.
I don't think he is old enough to drink.
Wow.
Which of course always stops college students. Students.
That's right, yes. they don't do that.
What made you choose the whole idea to do a show around covers?
Definitely music geek. I collect CDs. I collect rare music. I really like the way that a cover song can transform a song that you're totally familiar with into a whole new meaning or give it a whole new veneer. I especially like the cover songs where the covering artist does it in their style to the point where you can't even recognize. If you never heard the original, you'd have no idea that it was a cover version, that it's so well performed in that new performer's style.
Yeah, there's the one blue grass band, was it the
Hazy Dixies. Yes.
And they do, you know, the AC/DC stuff. And then there's another bluegrass band that does Ozzy Osbourne covers.
Oh, really? Okay, I haven't heard about that.
The other band that's covering Ozzy Osbourne is Van Heffer.
Van Heffer, okay.
Van Heffer. As Wichita Rutherford said, Van Heffer, it's a bluegrass band that does Ozzy Osbourne songs, bluegrass style, the way God intended.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to totally check that out. Van Heffer.
So there you go. You can play some Van Heffers. That's my request.
You got it.
I got to ask you, what's your favorite cover of all time?
That's one I played on the very first show, and I even brought it back for the April Fool's show. It's a cover of Both Sides Now, done by an amazing, amazing guitarist named Jason Faulkner, who is probably best known for his work with a group called Jellyfish. He's put out some solo albums. He's worked currently working with Air, and he just is such an amazing guitarist. It's an absolute transformation of the song from a slow, thoughtful ballad to a real rocker.
Coming up after you get past this 100th promotion, what are some of the things that listeners can look forward to on the show?
Well, I'm going to have a worst cover songs ever episode at some point. I've had a lot of requests for that, and
I heard you play the Milkshake song the other day.
Yes, two versions of it, as a matter of fact. And I've got some interviews, one with a great artist out of California named Candy Kane. She does some really good covers, and I should have an interview with her edited down after after the 100th show, and trying to get some other cover artists on the show, which will take place after the 100th episode as well.
I have to thank you. You had your ID3 tags perfect. I mean, you had everything right. You had it so you could read it in the menu on the iPod. You even had the track number in there for the episode number. There was nothing wrong. It was perfect. Thank you.
No problem. I'm an iPod listener myself, so I feel your pain, and I see how difficult it is when you've just got a date in a show title or no information at all about a podcast, and you're like, what the heck am I listening to? I do a lot of business traveling. Sometimes I'll take CDs and burn them when I'm on the road because I don't want to take the stuff I connect my iPod to my car stereo with me. So I'll burn CDs of podcasts. And
that's dedication.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
That's dedication.
Well, every time I'll leave the CD in the rental car intentionally so that the next person going in there will get a taste of, you know, Jawbone or Today's Podcast or Nicole Simon or something like that so they can see what it's like.
Or Yeast Radio.
Or Yeast Radio, yes.
That's a rude awakening.
If I really want to scare the next driver of the car, then I'll put on Yeast Radio.
Yeah, next time you're in Utah, make sure you leave that one up.
Somewhere in the Bible Belt, maybe.
Yeah. You mentioned in one of your shows, you actually did it. I was listening to the show with my wife. Mm-hmm. You had done your show on the 13th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
And my wife goes, bad man, bad.
Well, my wife was already asleep at the time, so I didn't give up any time spending with her. As a matter of fact, that's actually why I did it so late that night, is because I wanted to get a show out and didn't want to spend any of our time together doing the show.
Now, what does your wife think of you doing podcasting? The whole thing.
She originally thought, oh God, here's another thing that he's going to start doing for a while, and it'll fizzle off, and you know, we'll have all this computer equipment or hardware or whatever that he bought for it that'll just sit around now. But ever since, it was actually the first article that mentioned me, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was
Was it the Mercury News?
I think it must have been the San Jose Mercury News. Yeah, way back when she saw that, she's like, okay, yeah, this is pretty cool. I think you're onto something here. And then the New York Times and Business Week, and now she's all for it. She's like, hey, going to do a show tonight? And you know, she nudges me down the stairs to the basement to go get a show done.
My wife, she coined the phrase, she's a podcast widow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So way back when, so actually registered that domain name, so I have that.
See, she could start her own podcast now with that subject.
I keep telling her to do that. I said, you know, do a podcast about support network for all these, you know, guys, wives, like, you know, like yourself, their husbands are up till 2 or 3 in the morning doing podcasting. Tell our listeners where to locate your podcast and website for the two that don't know.
It's you can find it at www.coverville.com, and you type it just like it's the name of a city, Coverville.
The one question people hear, they hear a podcast and they don't understand a lot of times the work that goes into it, and they only hear you speak a few minutes, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes total. What they don't probably get is all the work that you have to put into it. How long does it take you to think up, record, edit, post a typical podcast?
Just for the podcast itself, probably a good 2 hours per half hour show. I record everything straight through, usually, and don't do any editing, usually. Although, you know, if I screw up something really badly, then I will go back and edit it out. But for the most part, the 35 minutes you're hearing is the 35 minutes that I click record on whatever it is, Wiretap Pro. Lately, in my ending music, I've been playing any false starts I have, though. You know, I do the beginning part before the intro music, where I talk about what's going to be on the show. And if I screw that up, then I figure, well, I'm only about 5 seconds into the show. Of course, I'll start over. And I've just now started including those, playing those in the background music at the end. So I actually do that live, too. I like, you know, those files are sitting there on my desktop. I open them up while the music's playing them and start playing them over the music.
Okay, so kind of an homage to Jackie Chan at the end there.
That's right. Yes, you get to see all the places where the board didn't break over my head.
Yeah. I noticed on your website you have up there the gear that you're using. And a lot of people think they have to spend a lot of money and go out and do a lot of complicated things. Tell everybody your hardware software setup, because you have a great sounding podcast with a very simplistic setup.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the cheaper deals out there. I've got a Shure mic, SM58, which I got in a musician superstore or a place like that for about $60. So even cheaper than you can find it online sometimes. It might be, well, I don't think this was used. This was new out of the box. And then I've got a Behringer Eurorack, the UB502, and that's about $35. So the equipment hardware wise was less than $100, but it'd probably be about $150 if I was buying it online. The most important thing, the biggest piece of advice I can give you is to get the XLR type microphone jack. It's such a huge difference between that and the quarter inch jack. It's amazing.
And do you have a mic stand?
I do, yeah. It's about a $12 mic stand, a huge heavy lead base to it, and an arm.
How about a pop filter or a screen?
I have a screen over it. Or actually one of those spongy clown nose kind of things over the mic.
Okay. So really, you can get the screen, the arm, stand, and everything else, what you talked about, $150.
Easily, yeah.
You mentioned for software, you're using, you said Audio Hijack Pro.
That's right.
I do wiretap, right?
Exactly. Yep. I have my voice go through Audio Hijack Pro so I can apply some filters to it just to kind of condense it and add a little extra gain. And then I record the whole thing with Wiretap Pro.
So software-wise, again, you're under $100.
So even under $50.
So under $200 of investment,
that's
you
right.
were able to produce the show that people hear today.
That, and then, of course, there's the whole license fees for ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. But
which is the next question I've got. Talk to us about that, because you are one of the people that BMI actually called out as saying, you know, here's an example of someone who's paid the fees
right.
and licenses. What licenses do you have, and what did they cost you?
I have a license with ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. All three are considered webcasters' license, and ASCAP added podcasting to their license agreement early this year, but from what I've heard, and I haven't checked this out myself, but they've taken the word podcasting out of it. I'm not sure if that's true or if it's somebody who's looking at a different contract or something. But between the three of those licenses, it's about $800 a year or about $600 a year. They're each about $250, $250, and $150. So, yeah, about $650, $700 a year.
That doesn't cover anything with RIAA.
No, that's still a big gray area. Basically, in October, I knew that this was something that I was going to do. You know, I said, all right, I like podcasting. It's something I'm going to stick with. So now let's start figuring out, making sure that I cover all my bases with it. So in October, I started calling ASCAP and BMI and CSAC, and actually even sent emails to the RIAA and saying, okay, here's what I'm doing. I was very upfront with them right off the bat, said, here's what I'm doing. How can I do it legally? And ASCAP was the first one to respond. They called me back about 2 or 3 days after my email and said, okay, yeah, you'll fit into a webcaster's license, but tell me a little bit more about podcasting. So I spent about an hour on the phone with them, making the drive from Oakland to San Francisco Airport, crossing over a big, long floating bridge and talking to them and explaining what podcasting is. And after the end of the call, they said, okay, yeah, $250. Our webcaster's license will work. I'll send out the contract right away. About 2 weeks later, I got the call from BMI, and it was basically the same thing. Spent some time on the phone with them explaining what it was, and they said the same thing. CSEC didn't get back to me until actually about a month ago, and I don't think that was even related to my initial inquiry with them. They said, hey, we see that you have a license with ASCAP and BMI. Some of the music you're playing actually is CSAC license as well, so you should have one of our licenses. So I said, yep, absolutely, let's take care of it. And so all this was, you know, on the songwriting side. Then we had the whole RIAA thing, and I started with Sound Exchange and Harry Fox as the two licensing agencies with the RIAA, both of which directly to the RIAA and gave me a contact there. And I've talked to him several times. He knows what I'm doing. He's aware of it. He says, you know, just get permission anytime you can while we work this out. And so, of course, when I play indie artists, I'm always able to get the permission. And there's even actually been a couple, or at least one major label artist, I've gotten permission to play a Warner Brothers artist. So while we're working this whole thing out, you know, that's kind of my goal, is to get as much permission as I can from the artists and hopefully get something moving forward with an actual podcaster's license with the RIAA.
So what is your general advice then to someone who's looking at starting a music podcast? Do they stick indie music until they get all these other licenses taken care of, or just stick indie music until they get a following?
I think it's up to the individual artist. It really depends on what they're passionate about. If they, you know, like me, I found a niche. I really like cover songs, and unfortunately, there's a lot of cover songs out there that are licensed. So I want to definitely produce the show that I'd want to listen to, which means for right now, I've got to kind of walk that line and play some stuff that's not covered by licensing. If it's a podcaster out there that really likes indie artists who has some local bands, bands that they really like, then I say absolutely, you know, jump right into it, do indie artists, but do whatever you're passionate about and whatever you feel comfortable law-wise, you know, legal-wise playing. If you're not comfortable with playing the RA stuff, then, you know, then don't do it.
Who does the cover of Cover Me at the beginning of your show?
I've actually been getting some emails about that. That's me, actually. For the first, 60 or so shows, I was using the Bruce Springsteen track, and I got emails from people saying, you know, even jokingly saying, hey, how come the only cover you don't play on your show is your theme song? And thought, you know, that's kind of a good point. So I broke out the keyboard, broke out GarageBand, did some tricks on my voice, and recorded my own version of Cover Me, which is great because I can stop the vocals after the first verse. I can fade it out a few seconds in from that so that, you know, where I start talking, I'm not talking, having to fade that down manually. So it gave me total control. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll just do it myself.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, Rob, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Brian Ibbett from Coverville. You can find his podcast at www.coverville.com. Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was really a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to hearing some more William Shatner covers in the future. Well, like I said earlier, I'm going to cut this one short. We're going to play a promo at the end here from the Zany Aguirres. Their claim to fame is Alan from the Zany Aguirres is Drew from Dawn and Drew's older brother. So stick around, listen to the Zany Aguirres promo. Until the next time, this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Hi, we're the Zany Aguirres.
Brought to you by PodcastMedia.net.
Podcast
Media.
So yeah, Friday night was my birthday.
That's right, Friday was your birthday. Happy birthday. Let's sing happy birthday.
No.
That's right.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Snapping like right up to the mic.
Shanta.
Imagine if we try to be a band or something.
Podcast Media. The Zany Aguirre Show. Cast it at thezanyaguirres.com.